What are you thankful for?
For me, I appreciate that.
What are you thankful for?
That's a man, that's a great, that's the best thing to be thankful for. It's absolutely true. You know, I think one of the problems we have, we just live in a culture that really doesn't understand gratitude. And I think one of the reasons is because it's not even an expectation we have of our children anymore to be grateful, to be thankful. There was a guy in our church, we called him the Candy Man. And every church has a Candy Man, right? Rodney's ours. Rodney's around. He's always giving out mints and stuff. And when we were kids, the Candy Man would come by and he'd give us all a piece of candy. And I observed something one week that one of the kids, all of us gotten a piece of candy, one of the kids went and found him where he sat in the back and thanked him for the candy. And that kid comes back and sits with us and he's got the whole bag of candy. And I asked him, I said, how'd you get that? He says, I don't know. I just thanked him for the candy. And he said, nobody ever thanks him. And so he gave the kid the whole bag. Being a brilliant child, a prodigy, that's what a lot of people called me. Well, okay, yeah, nobody ever called me that. But I thought of myself that way. The next Sunday, the candy man comes by and gives us all candy. And I wait a few minutes and then I go back to where he is. And I said, thank you. He said, you're welcome. I'm just really thankful. He said, good. I'm glad. See, he knew what I was doing, right? Probably four or five of the other kids did it too. We don't teach gratitude. People don't know how to be thankful. And in a culture that basically gripes and whines about everything. Because no matter how you feel about it, because I know what I'm about to say might upset some people. No matter how you feel about it, there's about 18,000 people today that wish they had been thankful that they had a job. But instead of being thankful for that job, they just looked at what they might be able to have or how the conditions could be better. Instead of just being thankful, 18,000 people. Jesus, in one of his encounters with some people, he's with his disciples, and the Bible says this. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Something interesting about these 10 lepers. The Bible says they stood at a distance because basically in that culture, if you had leprosy, you couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't do that. You had to keep your distance from all people because they were, you know, afraid that they would get leprosy too. And so knowing their place, the Bible says they stood at a distance and they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is so interesting. Jesus, in this encounter, because we learned three things here. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, I want you to think about this. I mean, their identity was basically that of a leper. An outcast of society. Those who couldn't be where everybody else was. But they saw Jesus, knowing, probably hearing of some of the things that Jesus had done, they cry out to him and they ask him to have pity. So the first thing is they totally understood their situation. They completely understood it. And from a distance, they cry out to Jesus and they ask him, have mercy on us, have pity on us. Because they knew that he had the power to do something that nobody else could do. So one is they recognize their situation, but two, they totally recognize Jesus and what he was capable of doing. You know, the story starts off well and good. I mean, a lot of us found ourselves in a similar situation when we cried out to Jesus, right? Whatever the circumstance, whatever what was going on, we cried out just as they did. because they knew who they were and they knew who Jesus was. And Jesus does exactly what they ask. He does have mercy. He does show pity on them. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. But listen to this. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. The Bible always goes, you know, is making a point here about the Samaritan. Because we know the racial hostility that there was with the Samaritans. And so the Bible just wants us to know that the guy that came back, he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, now he's talking to his disciples, were not all 10 cleansed? All 10 of them were cleansed. Where are the other 9? Where are they? I mean, I would say it's probably safe to say, we don't know much about the 10 lepers, but it's probably safe to say that ever since having leprosy, they had been the outcasts of society. Their lives were pitiful. They were horrible. They constantly were begging for the crumbs that would come off the table. They were treated horrifically by the rest of society. But this one comes back. Jesus had healed all 10 of them. All 10 of them. But Jesus makes a point to ask the question. Can you imagine if you're there with Jesus? Because what you're typically used to is Jesus saying, oh, this is so wonderful. This one has come back and he's thankful. Isn't that great, disciples? But Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, didn't I heal 10? And the disciples probably like, I believe so. He said, where are the other 9? Why are they not thankful? Why are they not grateful? This is an incredible lesson for us to learn. I remember when I was a youth pastor in Danville, we had a kid in youth group who was just, he was incredibly troubled. He was always in fights. He was always in some kind of issue with the police, legal things. He grew up in a horrible home. I mean, just a horrible home. You know, when he would tell me stories about his home life, it always made me want to call my mom and dad and thank them. I don't have a clue what this kid's talking about. To be thankful. He called me one day and he was crying. He said, I need you to come to the house. It was in the middle of the day, so he should have been at school. So I figured maybe he got expelled or he got kicked out again or something was going on. And so I go over to the house. I knock on the door. And I can see him in the window. He's sitting in a chair with his back to the door. And I kept knocking, and he didn't move. And I'm, at that point, I'm worried that something's happened. I checked the door, and it was unlocked, and I go in. And as I come around, I see him. He's sitting there with this gigantic knife. And then this, you know, and this was a kid that I didn't know if he'd use it or not. I mean, he was that kind of a kid. So I was a little bit scared. And so I just went and sat in the chair in front of him, and he just started talking about his life. And here's the thing. His life was his life. And I knew that as a youth pastor, I couldn't change the circumstances of his life. I couldn't. Unlike the lepers who went to Jesus, Jesus had the power to change their life. I couldn't change this kid's life. And he had a rough life. He was 17 years old, and I sat in the chair, and I was trying to think about what to say, and he just started going through all these things that were wrong in his life. And it was tough because, you know, half the things on the list were his own fault. They were the things he chose to do, his stupidity. And the other half of the list, they were the things that happened to him. They weren't his choice. And I just kept trying to think of something to say. You know, you want to, when you're a pastor, you want to say something. You know, you want it to all leave good and him saying, wow, thank you. You know, but I knew this wasn't going to be like that. And he named all these things and talked about his life. And I don't know why, but I started thinking about Job. I mean, think about Job. Everything he went through, the loss, the losses that he suffered. I mean, really, really, few of us can imagine the loss that Job experienced. And yet, the remarkable thing about Job, and of course, what I love is Job doesn't start off, you know, the book of Job doesn't start off with Job saying, I'm just so thankful. Doesn't start off that way. Job wrestles with what's happening in his life, and he's trying to reconcile the losses that have taken place, knowing that nothing can happen to him that God doesn't allow to happen. And you know what? And that's the tough reality for us. Nothing happens in my life that God doesn't allow to happen. And yet, Job comes out on the other side of that, and he's thankful. And he's praising God. This is the God who gives and takes away. And Job is praising God. I'm not pretending at all tonight that I get that, that I understand Job. I don't. What I would count as losses in my life come nowhere near what Job suffered or what probably many of you have. But I know that part of the healing for Job was this thankfulness. That he still counted that because of his relationship with God, his estimation was that he still had a lot. And he was thankful for what he had. So as I sat across from this kid, and he's naming all these things that are horrible, at first I start to feel sympathy for him. And to feel sorry for him. But then God just brings Job to my mind. And finally, I just kind of stop him. I said, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. I said, do you think anybody on the planet has it worse than you? And even for 17, he was able to say, yeah, probably a lot of people do. I said, are you thankful for anything? And he's just looking at me weird. And I'm just looking at the knife. And he's able to name a few things that he's thankful for. And I said, hey, listen, I can't imagine what your life has been like, but I'll tell you this. You've got 12 months that you're going to be in this house. And for those 12 months, I would find every day something that I could be thankful for. And I said, and I think if you can do that, that will get you through those 12 months. And then you can begin the life that you say that you want to have. Well, in the middle of that year, we took a group of students to the Passion Conference. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that. It's a big, gigantic worship weekend for college students. And so we took a bunch of college students and some high school seniors. And this guy asked if he could go. And I said, yeah, but you can't take the knife, right? And no knives. And so we go. There was about 50 of us. We were in this gigantic stadium in Fort Worth, Texas. And it was a powerful night. I mean, really, it was, for me personally, it was just this really powerful night. And, you know, we probably sang for an hour, right? And then there's preaching for about an hour. No, it wasn't Pastor Steve. It was somebody else. And then it ends with singing for at least another hour. I don't know. But at some point, I was done. Anybody ever feel that way? I'm done. And so I just kind of, we're in this giant stadium, we were all on one row, all 50 of us. And so I just tapped the kids and I said, hey, let's head on out. And of course, I have to wait for that to get through 50 kids, right? And it's like, it felt like 10 or 15 minutes. And finally, there's a message coming back towards me. And they said, we're ready, but we can't go that way. And I said, why not? And they said, we just can't. So I don't know what's going on. So I just step out and they all go. And on the very end was that kid. And he had both his hands in the air. And tears were streaming down his face. And he was just praising God. And I think of everything that God's allowed me to be a part of, that is one of the most phenomenal things ever. Because you know what? The situation of his life didn't change. And that wasn't his prerequisite to worship God and to give thanks. Because it's easy when you say, oh God, my circumstances are horrible, and God changes them and makes them all better. That's easy to thank. That's easy to give God praise when that happens. But what was so powerful for me that night about that kid is nothing changed. And we were going to get on a plane and fly back to Kentucky, and he was going to go back into the same old house with the same situations, with nothing changed as far as his circumstances, but something did change in his heart. And he finished his senior year. He graduated. He went into the military. I'm going to tell you, God did amazing things with this kid. But what I realized that night is I'm not like that. Oh, I'm ready to give God praise when he's made everything okay. When he's changed the circumstances, I'll give him praise. But for me, it feels like my natural inclination is just to complain and find all the things that are wrong, or list all the things I don't have that I want. But to be able to find a way to be thankful and to have praise. This is what Jesus is talking about. We're not all 10 cleansed? Didn't the exact same thing happen to every one of them? Where are the other 9? Where are they? Why haven't they come back? Why aren't they thankful? I'm going to tell you, if you're a parent, you better go to great lengths to teach your children how to be grateful. Because if most of us were honest, there is nothing more grotesque than somebody who's not thankful. I've told you this story before, but it's a good one. I'll tell it to you. At the single mother's oil change, we had a car come in. And in this car were 4 car seats. If you've ever worked at the oil change, you've seen that. 4 car seats in this little tiny car. And it didn't have reverse. And I asked this mother, I said, how do you do this? And she goes, well, I just learned how to park where I don't have to use reverse. I mean, she made it work. And our hearts were broke for that mother. You know, I called to the oil change guys and said, hey, what can we do for that car? And a voice on the other end said, get her another one. And through our car program, somebody had donated a van. So Pastor Steve, Pastor Mark, and myself, we all talk. We want her to have the van. And I'm going to tell you all, I was so thrilled. And we called her and we said, hey, come to church on Tuesday. We want to take a look at your car and we're going to see what we can do. But all along, I knew she's going to come. We're going to give her a van. And she comes and you know, we walk out and we said, man, it'd be nice if you could have a van like this. And she was like, yeah, that would be. And we said, it's yours. And we were just thrilled. So she gets in the van, and she adjusts the rearview mirror, and the rearview mirror had a crack in it. And she looked, she said, are y'all going to get that fixed? Now, let me just be really honest. I wanted to drag her out of the van by her hair. Because there's nothing more grotesque than ingratitude. I mean, just to be grateful. Listen. Had she been grateful, I'd have wanted to give her another car and food for a year and all that. But are you going to fix that? I mean, can you imagine? Oh, listen, I want to beat my kids when I see them act in a way where there's no gratitude. I mean, several years ago at Christmas, we just decided, you know what? Our kids, they get so much from the grandparents and these aunts and, you know, this family and that family and friends. We're just not going to hardly get them anything anymore because, I mean, I don't know how it is for you, but you know you are overdoing it and blowing it when they're too tired to open the rest of their presents. Listen, I'm going to tell you, that is not a good thing. And I remember sitting in the chair watching my kids thinking they're never going to learn how to be grateful if we just keep doing this. And I want them to be grateful. I think it's one of the incredible characteristics of a Christian is that we have gratitude, that we know how to be thankful. And more than that, we're thankful in our heart, but we know how to express that thankfulness and to say that we are thankful. And when somebody does something, no matter how big or how small, just to be able to say to that person, thank you. Like we mean it, that we understand. But listen, we live in a culture that just wants to get. Listen, it's the expectation of our culture that they get something. And there's never gratitude for getting something. It's always disappointment for not getting more. Listen, we have to break that cycle. Because I know how it looks when you're facing ingratitude. It's disgusting. And I think the whole point Jesus is making here is not how disgusting ingratitude is, but how beautiful gratitude is. How beautiful it is to be thankful. And you know what the truth is? Especially for every one of us sitting here. And I don't know all of you. I don't know everything going on in your life. But I'm going to tell you, there's no other group of people on any other continent that have as much to be thankful for as we do. Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Why does he say that? Why does he say this foreigner? Because in this culture, they would have had very, very low expectations for Samaritans. Very low expectations. And Jesus makes the point, this one whom all of you have such low expectations for, this is the one who has come back and is thankful. And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. All of us have so much to be thankful for. You're thankful for what Jesus has done. Thankful for the cross and the resurrection. Thankful for just even the common grace that God pours out on us. Something to be thankful. All of us have things that we can be thankful for. And something changed in that kid's life when he decided that there were a few things that he could be thankful for. Even though there was a mountain of things that he was disappointed with. Things that hadn't turned out the way that he'd hoped. Not having the home that he wanted to have. Not having his family life the way that he wanted. There was a mountain of things that he could complain about. But at some point, he decided to start being thankful for the things that he could be thankful for. And even though nothing changed in his circumstance, everything changed in his heart. And I think of all the prayers I pray for God to change my circumstance compared to the few prayers for God to change my heart. We're going to have a time of altar tonight. I want to invite you to come, and, you know, especially the night before Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. And I just want to invite you to come to this altar. And to be thankful and to truly give thanks to God. Maybe some of you came tonight and you were just weighed down by all the things that are wrong. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar, not that way tonight. But come thankful for what God has done. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's why we talk about the cross and the resurrection. He's the only hope that we have. He's the only hope we have. And His forgiveness is eternal. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, that we would be saved. And no doubt, with this many people here, there are some of you here tonight who have never invited Christ to come into your life or ask Him to forgive you of your sin. And I would plead with you tonight to do that, to pray that He would save you. And the Bible says He's faithful and just, and He will do just that. Lord, we come to You. And Father, we thank You for all that You've done. Lord, when I just begin to think that way, I think of things You've done that I never thought of before. Things that I expected You to do and took for granted. Father, I pray You overwhelm our hearts tonight with thankfulness. Lord, I pray for those here that don't know You. Because, Lord, we are powerless to save ourselves. And I pray, Lord, for those here that don't know You, that they would invite You to come into their life tonight. And ask You to forgive them of their sin. And that tonight, Lord, You would save people. So, Lord, we come to You. We come to this altar with grateful and thankful hearts. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come tonight. You come.